It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Since you are listening to this program and this station, 90.5 WESA, it would be reasonable to assume that you are someone who values NPR, which remains unique among news organizations. However, public radio is also at a crossroads as some of its longtime shows like Talk of the Nation and Car Talk come to an end. What does the future hold for NPR, and can it stay relevant in the changing media landscape? I'm joined now in Studio A by NPR President and CEO Gary Nell. He is in Pittsburgh to give a keynote address at this weekend's Americans for the Arts Convention. Gary Nell, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, Paul. Great to be back in Pittsburgh, one of my favorite places.
And we will take your email questions at ESSPGH at WESA.FM. You can also reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. So what do you plan on addressing with your audience at the Americans for the Arts Convention, Gary Nell?
Well, I think it's the importance of public radio. And as news and journalism have changed in America, and we're really finding a very challenging newspaper market and cable news, which is turned into something that's not quite news but mostly opinion, there's a very important case to be made for journalism, and I want to talk about that. And I also want to talk about the importance of public radio's music and art space, where we really are the megaphone, I think, for the cultural discovery and the cultural scene across the country that's really been abandoned in many ways by commercial media.
To your point about the changing face of media, we have a tweet from Brian who asks, what does NPR think about the changing face of news with less coverage and more opinion? Is this a recurring phase?
Well, I don't know if it's a phase. I'm afraid that it may, in fact, be part of what we now all experience every day, which is a fire hose of information that comes from Facebook and Twitter and every other news source. And when you ask, younger people especially, where they get their news, and often the answer I'll get is Google News, which is an accurate statement, but it's not a news source. So the question is, how do we make sure that people understand the difference between opinion and journalism? And when I talk about journalism, this is really about an attempt to tell facts. It's an attempt to make sure that they're fact-checked, that they're edited, they're sourced, that when you make a claim, there's actually some factual basis behind the claim, and to get at the truth. So whether it's a political figure or it's someone in the community who's making a claim, to make sure that, in fact, that person is being asked the right questions that they should be asked, and so people can make up their own minds about important, complex issues of the day. That's what public radio is about. It's really trying to provide a civil dialogue about the complex issues that folks in Pittsburgh and across the country are grappling with.
You took over NPR at a time when some had impugned the integrity of the organization, and there was a bit of a firestorm there. Do you feel that that's behind the organization now, and that NPR has been able to settle back into its mission?
Well, Paul, we've been working hard at trying to make our case with members of Congress on both sides of the aisle. This is everyone's public radio. This is not an organization or a system with a political agenda. It doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. We do on occasion, and there may be a segment or two which someone doesn't like, and there's a segment or two that I don't like. I think that's part of the nature of the work that we do in public radio. I do hope that there's more of a consensus about the importance of public radio. I sense there is, we certainly don't want to repeat some of the things that happened in the past, which were somewhat self-inflicted wounds, and unfortunately, I think let ourselves get labeled into a place that is not really accurate and it's not really who we are. So part of what we're trying to do is just tell our story and putting out for people and asking them to listen. And I think when people do listen to Morning Edition and All Things Considered and the other shows that are on this station and others around the country, people are pretty impressed with the amount of complexity and voices that they hear from across the political spectrum.
We're talking with NPR President and CEO Gary Nell. Some legacy public radio programs such as Car Talk and Talk of the Nation have changed with no new production or are ending entirely. What is NPR doing to develop the talent and the programming of the future?
Well, this is a really important question. And look, part of what I'm trying to do at NPR is diversify our audience. I think the country's going through huge demographic shifts. I don't have to tell your listeners that. They see it every day. We need to do better ethnically and racially with different audiences than we've done in the past. We need to make sure geographically we're getting out of Washington more and listening to voices in western Pennsylvania and around the country. From an age point of view, getting younger people engaged who may have not been strapped into their car seats, being forced to listen to Morning Edition as kids. This is really important. So the first-time college graduate who's never heard of NPR, I think, is the person we want to aim at to engage around our programming. So part of this is also, Paul, just refreshing our programming and making sure that we are engaged. You know, I used to run Sesame Street, and even in preschool programming, you could get stale. You could just kind of fall in love with what you've done forever, and once you stop listening to moms, in that case, who are describing how their kids may have be losing attention or going off to some other place, it also means as a nonprofit organization you're not meeting your mission. And I think in our case, we need to keep listeners engaged. Our listeners are much more sophisticated. They have lots of information choices, and we need to keep them engaged around our programming. So part of what we're doing in changing out a couple of programs, which were tough decisions, but we are moving towards embracing Here and Now, which is on this channel, and I think you'll hear a new set of voices with Robin Young and Jeremy Hobson, which will be premiering next month, and I hope and have great expectations that the program will really engage listeners in Pittsburgh. So these are the kinds of things that are important to continuously innovate and, you know, as they say, disrupt yourself. I think that's really important.
There are those, of course, who are upset about the fact that Talk of the Nation is going away. And we had an email from a listener named Jennifer in Brighton Heights. She says, I am concerned about the direction NPR is going. I have always loved NPR because of the interesting stories that I could not hear anywhere else. It seems, though, that in the last few months, NPR is becoming just like any other news outlet that covers mainstream stories. They just present generic talking points that I can hear anywhere. The guests they bring on are becoming the radio version of talking heads that parrot information we already know. Then I hear that NPR is canceling Talk of the Nation soon. I was honestly distressed for an entire day. It is very hard to get discussion on events that take place overseas, especially from somebody as intelligent and entertaining as Neil Conan. Please don't replace the show with talking heads and news that was announced on Twitter. I would love never to hear the word Twitter on NPR again. And that's from Jennifer in Brighton Heights. So there's some feedback for you.
Well, I appreciate that, Jennifer, and it's important feedback. I agree with you. We don't want to turn into beltway talking heads that are just as predictable as any cable channel or other source that are in so-called mainstream media. That's not what we are. We are storytellers. We are going to be the place where you're going to get behind what may have caused the Boston bombings by having Corey Flintoff, our Moscow correspondent, who has traveled in Chechnya to begin to unpack what might have motivated people to do such a thing. We've got Deb Amos and Kelly McEvers, you know, going across the border in Syria on the ground, 18 foreign bureaus in Egypt and Jerusalem and Beirut and Sao Paulo and around the world who are really telling stories that are not your typical talking heads, and even introducing things to around diversity like something called Code Switch and another called Race Card. There was an amazing interview the other morning that Michelle Norris did with George Wallace's daughter, which I hope some of you heard. I don't think these are the things that you're hearing on other networks and other news sources, and I think the point I was making before about continuously innovating and making sure we're not doing what everyone else is doing, I think that's the purpose of public radio, and I appreciate your concern, and I agree with it. And when we do start sounding like everybody else, we're doing something wrong. The Talk of the Nation decision was not about that. It was really much more about trying to have a news magazine presence in the middle of the day, which Here and Now will hopefully give us and give WESA and other stations around the country. So that will be somewhat of a bridge between Morning Edition and All Things Considered on a national basis. That's what drove the decision. It was a hard decision. I love Neil Conan as much as anyone, and we hope that Neil will continue to do some things for NPR in the future.
You touched upon Code Switch. Let's talk about that. In an effort to increase NPR's attention to race and ethnicity as a subject, you've embarked on Code Switch. Explain what this is.
Yeah, this is, this was an attempt to really address the changing demographics of America. And just to give you an idea, Paul, we went out and looked for 6 reporters, editors, and bloggers to talk about these issues, and we got 1,300 resumes from journalists, which is really amazing. And I think what that tells you is the lack of coverage about these important issues, so that we really understand the growing Latino audience and what's that about. And there's about 20 different Latino audiences in America. It's not a monolithic group. And I think it's very important that we understand the different nuances that are taking place or in other communities, the African-American community, and some of the changes going on. We just released a poll with the Harvard School of Public Health and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation last week about the state of Black America and some interesting findings about commitment among African-American males being higher, the desire for commitment in relationships being higher than among African-American females. This sort of breaks a stereotype that's been around. And that's what we're trying to do, is to really, I think, unpack these issues and deal with them in the complexity that they deserve. So we have not just talking about diversity. We're trying to do diversity, I think, on our air and get people from, you know, all populations understanding what that's about. Michelle Norris started something called the Race Card Project, where you have to talk about race in 6 words. And I mean everyone. This is, what does it mean to be a German American? And it's a fascinating process to go through. The University of Michigan has been having every one of their students filling out these race cards to begin to open up a dialogue around race in the country that's really hard to talk about from everyone's perspective. This is one ability and tool to do that.
Very interesting. We're talking with NPR President and CEO Gary Nell. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Going to try and hit as much and as many points as we can in the minutes we have remaining. We are seeing newspapers, commercial networks, other traditional sources of news cutting back on foreign reporting. You talked about some of the reporters that NPR has fanned out around the world. Is there more of a burden on NPR with its foreign bureaus and reporters strategically placed around the world to provide international coverage?
Well, I think we are, you know, we carry that burden, I think, by choice. We have 18 foreign bureaus when everyone else, the major news networks and the CBSs and the NBCs have way cut back. The newspapers who used to be all over the world are completely cut back. They might have one office in London, maybe. And we're now expanding our coverage into Latin America. We are covering all over the Middle East. This is part of what I think what makes NPR special and different, and having someone on the ground in Cairo to understand what the overthrow of the Mubarak regime was all about is really a much more in-depth understanding, or what's happening in Afghanistan. We still have 64,000 troops in Afghanistan. Who is talking about this other than National Public Radio? And the fact that we do have reporters like Sean Carberry in Kabul who are telling the stories of our troops over there is really important for all of us as Americans to understand, and especially as they come back to our country and have a big veteran set of coverage in Pittsburgh and around the country. This is what we can do, is to carry and cover the issues that are really important for the American people to engage around and who I believe they want to engage around, but they don't have access to these things as newspapers get into tough situations and as commercial radio really has pulled out of coverage almost completely.
We saw this week the PBS NewsHour announcing that it's closing its offices, the ones that are outside of Washington, and this may cause some concerns for NPR listeners about what NPR might do. What about NPR possibly cutting back its bureaus?
Well, you know, look, we've got – I can't speak to the NewsHour because it's a completely different organization, and they obviously had to make some very tough decisions. We are very committed to our coverage and around foreign coverage, around science, around Washington and politics and veterans and science and health and education, the environment, energy. We're doing a lot covering hydraulic fracturing in Pennsylvania and all of the issues wrapped up around that. So we are committed to journalism, and we have, you know, 400 or so folks in our newsroom doing radio and digital journalism. We're going to keep at it.
I'm going to try to jam a couple more questions here into the less than 2 minutes we have left.
Lightning round.
Yes, CPB funding has been cut. If smaller stations in rural areas that don't have the audience to support their operations and programming cannot afford NPR, what happens to public radio, and what happens to those rural NPR stations?
Well, it's important that we have universal coverage, and what we mean by that is that, you know, every part of America, as much as we possibly can, are covered. You know, public radio is a system of some 900 stations. They're not controlled by NPR. NPR gets no direct federal funding. It's really all about having local community stations like WESA and hundreds of others across the country. So it's important for communities to get together and support their local stations.
Finally, the digital media landscape is changing the way we all access media. NPR is no exception. So in 30 seconds or less, Gary, how is NPR dealing with content creation and distribution in an on-demand world? How does that affect future funding models?
Well, it's really important that we do both. We stay FM-centric and make sure our radio prefix menu, so to speak, goes. But we're also going to need to develop, and we are developing, a la carte menus on mobile platforms that our audience is demanding going forward to be the future, I think, of public radio.
Gary Nell is the president and CEO of NPR. He's in Pittsburgh to give a keynote address at this weekend's Americans for the Arts Convention. Gary Nell, thanks so much for taking the time to join us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.fm or as a podcast in iTunes. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.